I'm going to preach just for a few minutes on things not found in hell. How many of you believe there's a real hell? Say amen. Raise your hand. And why do we believe that? Because the Bible says it, doesn't it? We know what the Word of God says, and we believe the Bible. Now listen to this, not necessarily a parable. Some say, well, it's a parable. Well, what's a parable? If it were a parable, I don't think it's a parable, but if it were, a parable is not as strong as the real thing. But this is the real thing right here. It's the real dude. All right? Beginning with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He was very wealthy. Had it made as far as wealth and all of that. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Sort of a pitiful sight, isn't it? Poor, sick, dogs licking his sores. That's this side of eternity. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. By the way, the latest statistic is that if you live long enough, you're going to die. Amen? The problem is we don't know when we're going to die. I have funerals of little babies, funerals of teenagers, young couples, median age, and certainly funerals of older people. But we don't know when we're going to die. We know we're going to die. Both of these died. And the rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, that is where his body went. And in hell, his soul and spirit, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. There was a great divide. One part of that place of the departed was for those who were saved. Another part was a place of torment and punishment. When Christ came, died, and was buried, and arose, he led captivity captive. They went to be with Christ in heaven, and the rest have stayed there and are still suffering in hell. But this is that part. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He cried. And send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Just a little tip, and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He's praying now, isn't he? A little bit late. For I have five brethren, that just send this poor beggar man that's in paradise, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, you have the word of God, you have the scriptures. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said, if somebody just go tell them how awful this is, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, and today it would be this, if they do not hear the preachers who are preaching the truth of the Word of God, they do not hear people who have told them how to be saved, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, we look at very quickly some things that we do not see in hell. One of the things we don't see is mercy. There is no mercy in hell. There was conversation between this man in hell and God, but you notice there's no mercy there. Absolutely no mercy. Once a person dies, if they die and go to hell, that's it. There's no more mercy. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no limbo. There's no praying them out. There's none of that. There is absolutely no merciful. No mercy. I'm glad God is merciful to us tonight. We're living in an age of mercy. An age of grace. And we live, thank God, still right now in a free country. That seems to be changing, but I trust that we'll keep freedom for a long time. And we have the mercy of Almighty God. And the gospel, thank God, is free. And we give it out to people and they receive it. Doesn't cost them anything. And we are able to see the mercy of God as He works in the lives of people. And I'm glad God is patient. Some of you got saved later in life. Aren't you glad God didn't lose His patience with you? He waited on you and waited on you patiently, loving you, not wanting to send you to hell, but wanting you to be saved. God does not send anybody to hell. God does not want anybody to go to hell. God gets no pleasure in that sense of somebody dying and going to hell. His righteous demands are satisfied, but He gets no pleasure. We live in a day of mercy today, but there will be no mercy in hell. Thank God there are opportunities now to be saved. People can still be saved. I'm glad for that. It's going to be tough in the tribulation when that time comes. Right now we have grace. We have the mercy of God. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you need to receive Him while you still have a chance, while there's still mercy for you. God is merciful, and I'm glad He is. Another thing we see that is not in hell is comfort. There is no comfort in hell, none whatsoever. Now, we are fairly comfortable tonight. We have good lighting, nice cushioned pews. You sleep real good in those. And we have the thermostat set to try to please everybody but the women. I mean, everybody. You never know exactly where to set the thing. We try to pick a medium, but we're pretty comfortable. And after a while, as soon as I get through preaching, which is what a lot of you are hoping I'll hurry up and do, you're going to get out of here and go get some pizza and go in your warm house or up in the youth department. And we have a lot of comfort. We're blessed. We have our homes. We have our cars. We have our toys. We have our vacations. We have time together and fun together and all of that. But in hell, there'd be no such thing as comfort. Not one ounce of comfort in hell. No mercy. No comfort. There'd be no smiles in hell. Nobody's smiling in this picture. There'll be no smiles in hell. I love the smile of a little baby. Now, Brother Johnson's little girl, Elena, she came up. Well, they brought her up. She did walk a little bit, by the way. She's taken some steps already. And so when she sees me, the preacher, she just gloats and smiles. I almost beat her daddy out. Not quite. She's crazy about her daddy and her mama, but she usually smiles at me, doesn't she? Yeah. Sometimes she looks and says, I ought to laugh out loud, seeing what I'm seeing. But at any rate, there's something precious about the smile of a little child, isn't it? The smile of a little baby, a child at a birthday party, opening gifts, a person receiving Christmas gifts, a little child, and the excitement and the smiles and all of those things. But there will not be any of that there. There'll be no joy. There'll be no inner peace in hell. We can have it now through Jesus Christ. Thank God. I have inner peace tonight. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful for what I'm doing. I'm glad that I'm a child of God's. I'm glad I know that if I die, I'm going to be with Him, not hell. And I have that inner peace in my heart based clearly on the Word of God. Amen. And there's nothing like it. Thank God for that. And I can smile and say, hey, I'm saved and I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm on my way to heaven. You may not think it, but I am, in spite of you. Amen? I'm on my way to heaven. There'll be no fellowship in hell. None whatsoever. We have a lot of fellowship, and that's good. And I think Christians ought to have fellowship. We had a Sunday school lesson this morning talked about relationships and fellowship, and we need to have that kind of fellowship. But there won't be any fellowship in hell. I've had more than one person tell me, "Oh, but if I go to hell, I'll have some friends there in hell, and we'll kick up our heels and have a good time in hell. We'll just really enjoy it." No, you won't. You'll have no fellowship. There won't be anything like that. You'll be just like this rich man that died and went to hell. There won't be any fellowship whatsoever. It'll be a horrible, miserable existence without anybody that you can fellowship with or have friendship with. No relatives, no other people that are there. It's not going to be that way. There's no fellowship in hell. I think that as believers, it's great that we can fellowship. And I like those songs about heaven and the one the choir was singing tonight about the rapture and our going up to be with the Lord. We'll be with the saints and we'll have fellowship. We've lost loved ones in the last few years. I've been here almost 13 years, and there are a lot of these godly saints that have gone on to be with the Lord. One of my best friends, Brother Johnny Cunningham, he's up there in heaven. Now let me tell you something. He's having a good time. And he's having fellowship with a lot of folks that have gone on before him. And there's no end to that. But there'll be no fellowship. None. In hell. Not one ounce of fellowship together. Another thing we notice in hell fire, there'll be no water. There won't be any water. Look at verse 24. When he talks about that, he says in that verse, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me." But you notice there is no mercy. "And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame." Let me tell you something, folks. Hell is real. It is. This is not a fairy tale. It's a reality of eternity. And if you die without Christ, then you will be in hell. You'll be in torment. It will be that way forever because, not because God hated you, but because you rejected and blasphemed the Spirit of God who said you need to listen to that preacher and get saved and trust Christ as your Redeemer. But there in hell, no water. Wouldn't you like to have a nice glass of water right now? Just my mentioning of it, some of you will say, "Man, I'd like to have a nice cool glass of water." We get thirsty and we think about it on a hot day, but in hell, oh, listen. There'll be no comfort, there'll be no water, there'll be no fellowship, there'll be none of these things, there'll be no mercy there. There'll be no light there. The Bible says ultimately they're cast into outer darkness. And I don't know how to explain all of that, but I know one thing for sure, I don't want to be there, and another thing, it's going to be horrible. That I do know. There'll be darkness there. It's a horrible, horrible place, outer darkness. The screams of those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and died and gone to hell. But I'm glad to tell you the light of the world is Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't have to die in darkness. You don't have to die and go to hell. The light of the world is Jesus. And as we walk in the light and know Him, someday we're going to be with Him. If we are really truly born again, the very moment we die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that nice to know? Amen. The minute we die, our body goes back into the grave, our soul and spirit go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice another thing, there is no hope in hell. None. This man has not one ounce of hope to get out of hell. Well, I'll tell you, that bothers me. I think about people dying and going to hell. And they're there. They cannot get out. There's no way to get out. Some of you Baptists have been in jail. You know how that is. I've been there myself. But to be incarcerated in eternal damnation forever and ever with no hope to get out. I mean, if you're in prison, you got some hope. You've got a time or something like that. And if nothing else, at least death will take you out. And if you get saved in prison, you're going to be with Christ in heaven. But in hell, there is no hope. You get that? No hope. Dead. Eternally separated from God. No hope. whatsoever. No hope. I'm glad we have hope in this life. And our hope, and it's a sure hope, a positive hope. It's not an iffy hope, but it's something we're counting on, we're looking forward to, and that is the return of Christ or our going to be with Him at death. Now, I want to mention real quickly some things in hell that every church needs. Prayer. That man was praying in hell. We need to be prayer warriors. Amen? God's people can learn some lessons from the man in hell. We need a missionary mind. Thank God for the Joneses and others like him. He and his dear wife who go and they tell people about Jesus Christ. This man in hell said, go back and tell my five brothers. Tell them don't come down here. Thank God we have people who are going across the land telling others don't go to hell. You go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He had vision. He wanted others to be saved. He even named the numbers and he talks about that. And he could see the horribleness of hell. And the vision that he had was, don't let anybody die and come down here. In hell there was fire. We need a little fire in our churches, amen? We need enough fire and evangelism to go out and tell people how to be saved. We need to each one reach one. Get that. Each one reach one. You're going to hear it a lot. And I hope that this year, each one will at least reach one. We ought to reach more than one, but try. Get out and try. Have vision. Have some fire. Another thing we see there that churches need is tears. I believe there were some tears. Oh, God, help us to get on our knees at home, to come into this altar and pray for those that are lost. Ask God to break their heart and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ so they will not have to die and go to hell. I'm telling you, hell is a horrible place. You say, preacher, how do I escape that horrible place? It's not just joining a church. It's not just doing the best you can. It's not just by being baptized. It isn't any other religion in the world. It has to be by coming to Christ. Hear me. Exclusively, Christ is the only way to heaven. You say, what about all these other religions? That's what they are, religions. Jesus said, you either believe Him or you don't. Jesus said, I'm the only way. I'm the truth. I'm the only one that came and died and satisfied the righteous demands of God and propitiated His wrath and all that is involved in His holy demands. And I did that on the cross on top of the hill as I shed my blood for you. I took your place. Hey, I've got good news for you tonight. Adults, young people alike, I've got good news for you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And if you will come to Him and trust Him as your Savior. 9 years old, little boy, Antioch Baptist Church, Northeast Louisiana, out in the country, little church on a Sunday night in a revival meeting. I understood that I was lost. I was on my way to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. And I wanted to go to heaven. And I knew there was only one way, one door, one opportunity. And that was through Jesus Christ. And that night, I trusted Him as my Savior. Amen. And I've been saved ever since. You say, well, you just can't know you're going to heaven. The Bible says you can. 1 John 5:13, you've heard me quote it many, many, many times. One of my favorite verses. These things have I written unto you that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Oh, preacher, you can't really know. I'm hoping I'm going to get there. Oh, no, you can know you're going to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll miss hell and you'll go to heaven. Are you saved? If not, come tonight and trust Christ as your Savior. In church, let's get a broken heart. Let's have some tears, some vision. You have anybody you love, anybody, a relative, a neighbor, somebody, why don't you hit the altar tonight and pray for them? Break the ice here. Maybe some of these others will come and be saved, those that aren't saved, as we open up the door. Let's stand, please. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And Father, we know it's true, and we know the Bible teaches a literal, eternal hell, a place of eternal separation from you for those who do not get saved. And Lord, I pray that the unsaved here tonight would realize, one, they are lost. They're sinners, like all of us. And they would realize that sin has to be paid for the wages of sin is death and eternal separation from God. And that they would understand the good news that in that while we were yet sinners, your Son, Christ, died for us, died for them. And then, if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, whosoever, thank God and thank you, Father, that it's for anybody. Doesn't matter about the age, doesn't matter about the nationality, doesn't matter about the background, doesn't matter how deep they've gone in sin or how morally good they may think they are. It's for whosoever will, if they'll come. I pray tonight that we'd have some saved. God bless the truth of the way of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.